Please be seated. Well, good morning. It's wonderful to be with you again, and the smoke is dissipating, so I still feel connected, though. Since we shared that last weekend, that smoke went all the way. So, before last weekend, an article appeared on the web, something that I get every Friday, that caught my attention, and it's been on my mind and my heart ever since I read it. And so today, even though it's not connected in a verse-by-verse way with any of the readings, I think that it speaks to what we are involved with in our lives today, and also what's illustrated in Scripture for us. So there's a site and an organization called Living Compass that works out of the Diocese of Chicago, and the director of that is the Reverend Dr. Scott Stoner, who is a PhD psychologist and an Episcopal priest. And he puts out on Fridays a thing he calls Weekly Words of Wellness. And this last week, 9 days ago, he begins with a quote from an author who is also a life coach and has her own business named Nancy Levin. And the quote was this: "Honor the space between no longer and not yet. Honor the space between no longer and not yet." Now, this time of year, August, September, depending on exactly where you are in the United States, is typically a time of transition for many Americans and their families. It's back to school time. And I've had conversations already with various persons here who are school teachers or were school teachers. And right? And it's a special time of year in that regard in our culture. Well, last Sunday at the late service, Father Andy invited the youngsters up, and they had been forewarned to bring their school backpacks, and right here he did a blessing of the backpacks for those children as they anticipated the beginning of school, because this is a space of no longer but not yet. And now they have started school. The blessing of the backpacks was indeed an honoring of that space in the lives of these children and, by extension, the rest of the community and us. And yes, let's not forget those active teachers. They've been in that space for several weeks preparing their lessons and bulletin boards and so forth. The end of summer vacation and the beginning of a new school year is a momentous time for all of them. I did it for many years as an elementary principal. And for some, it's a welcome time when they return to school, they get back together with their friends and the familiar routine. And because we don't live in little neighborhoods like I grew up in, they haven't seen some of their buddies all summer long, practically. So it can be quite an uplifting and anticipatory time in a good sense. However, for some folks, it may be a scary time as they enter an unfamiliar school because they moved from another town over the summer. Or when you move from one level of the school system to the next, you go from being sort of, king of the mountain, as a sixth grader in my case, then the next year you're at the bottom of the heap because you're a seventh grader and there's two grades ahead of you. Finally, you get to be a ninth grader and you are in charge, you think. And then boom, you're at the high school and they're big and they're strong and they don't want you to be around. And actually, I was the first class in my high school where hazing of sophomores was outlawed. It still happened, but it was in alleyways and behind woodsheds and stuff. We didn't have to wear beanies, though, which targeted you. So going back to school can be scary. even entering college or post-secondary training, moving away from home, living on your own, meeting new friends, maybe being in a totally different part of the country, is a big deal and a big transition, even for those older folks. At the motel where I stay at the Candlewood Estates, two of the girls that run that work the front desk are both seniors this year in the local high school, and we've been talking about back to school. So joy and excitement on the one hand, and anxiety and maybe raw fear on the other. But they're equally stressful for us, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. So those of you that have ever walked down this aisle or some other aisle to get married, it's a good thing, it's something you want to do, it's an occasion you've been preparing for and looking for, but it's still stressful. This often generates this stressfulness, a roller coaster of emotions and behaviors which confuse and frustrate parents, and that's why Dr. Stoner wrote about the column, because he gets calls this time of year from parents saying, my kid's driving me crazy, what's going on? Do I need to commit them to some institution? And he says, no, this is what's happening. So there's a lot more going on at back to school time than just going to Walmart with a list of the stuff your kid needs to buy. Believe me, I know. I'll spare you the details, but 50 years from today, ago, I was on my way to Vietnam. I was no longer, but I was not yet. They had ways of keeping that roller coaster kind of toned down, but in my own experience last year, I had two grandsons that were freshmen in college in two parts of the country, and the one young man, Coleman, had been driving his parents nuts for months through his senior year in high school. He was a regular pill, a pain in the neck. They were pulling their hair out. The other grandson's an only child, and he was kind of like the poster boy for just a great kid, you know, achieving well in school, playing sports, all that stuff. Coleman didn't even enroll in college until 2 weeks before school. That would drive you nuts, right? Christopher, they had researched it, they had picked the school. He was at San Diego State University, but before Christmas he withdrew. It wasn't working. This year they're both second year students in the university and they're in a different place. But this is a natural phenomenon often characterized or called a crazy time. But a more clinical term is liminal time or liminal space. Dr. Stoner shared these words. The word liminal comes from the Latin word limens, L-I-M-E-N-S, and it just simply means limit or threshold. You're on the edge of something, but there's a lot of unknown from behind to whatever lies ahead. A popular, very prolific author and religious leader in our country today is Richard Rohr, and he runs retreats in a retreat center and does a lot of writing and does a lot of work with men's ministry. He talked about this liminal space in these words. It is when you have left or about to leave the tried and true and have not yet been able to replace it with anything else. It's when you are between your old comfort zone and any possible new answer. If you are not trained in how to hold anxiety, how to live with ambiguity, and how to entrust and wait, you will run anything to flee this terrible cloud of unknowing. So when we find ourselves in this situation, we're being advised to honor the space that we're in between no longer and not yet. And this has been happening since there have been human beings. And there are lots of rites of cultural rites of passage that function to validate this kind of crazy time and help it be okay. And we know them: birthdays, graduations, christenings, funerals, bar mitzvahs, award ceremonies, retirement parties. There's plenty. And I'm sure there was a time when those rites functioned to really make it mostly okay for most people. But what I see happening in our culture today, and it has been all through my lifetime, the rate of change is getting quicker and quicker. We've always had change. But things aren't stable for 4 or 5, 6 years in your life. There's always seeming like something coming up. So I think we sense it more. So again, Scott Stoner pointed out in his article last week, and this is the key, there are two essential things that all people need when they're in a liminal space: unconditional love and a supportive community. Unconditional love and a supportive community. My grandson Coleman made the unconditional love really difficult his senior year in high school. But he did get it, and he had a supportive community. But these two factors make all the difference in how it works out. So unconditional love and supportive community are foundational, from last week, to the way of love, to Jesus's way of love, his model and his teaching. Love God, love your neighbor, love yourself, Matthew 22. Unconditional love, supportive community. This is Christ-like, and it's part of our spiritual DNA as followers. If you think about the scope of scriptures in the narrative of God's interaction with humankind, all the way through from the Old Testament right on up and through, there's story after story after story of someone who's caught in a liminal space and how they deal with it and how they come out the other side. You've got Abraham and Sarah and three strangers showing up at their tent in the desert. Abraham and Isaac. You've got Noah and the impending flood, Jonah and what he was called to do, Moses over and over and over again, and the children of Israel as they traveled through the desert, David becoming king, Job, and the entire ministry of Jesus is a liminal time for him and his close followers, his disciples. But what these all teach us is that when God interrupts us with a liminal space, God is with us in that space. And God is with St. Peter's in your liminal space. I'm here too, but what you really need is God. So you are in one of these liminal spaces. It's kind of stretched out. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to bring these thoughts to you today. So the fruitful outcome of all of those Bible stories results from engagement, from entering into the deep water of a liminal time or space and coming out the other side, crossing the Red Sea, crossing the Jordan, dying to this world in your baptism and rising in new life in Christ. You're honoring the space between no longer and not yet. So with the Eucharist that we will celebrate here in a few minutes, I think of that as the prime example of honoring that space. In obedience to God's plan of salvation for all creation, for you and for me. So perhaps God's challenge for us today is to truly live that life that Christ has won for us, with the knowledge that we cannot find peace by trying to not live in this space, rather by embracing the life we are reborn. We can enter liminal space assured that God will meet us there with love and grace and transformative power. And when we offer to each other and to our neighbors and our children and our grandchildren, when we offer the grace and unconditional love of Christ, we can replace the emotional instability that's part of it with calmness and faith. We can open our hearts and minds to what God intends for us and those we love and care for. So as I've gotten to know you and been with you over these weeks and in some weeks to come, I just want to tell you, St. Peter's is in a good place. As an outsider looking in, you're in a good place. You have resources of time and talent and treasure and energy. You have strong lay leadership and engagement with whatever needs to be done and decided and dealt with. You're active in lay ministry and fellowship and worship. Your, I don't know if this has been heard from the pulpit, but your average Sunday attendance is maintaining and has right through this calendar year. And that is awesome. You are well served by your deacon and by Father Andy and the staff, Karen, Gail, Sean. They're doing a great job. They're taking care of business. That's their responsibilities. So everywhere I look, I see examples of the two essentials, unconditional love and supportive community. And I have felt that unconditional love, and I have received support from you as a community. And it's been a blessing for me. So may God continue to guide and bless you as you honor the space between no longer, but not yet. Amen.